maybe I'll just start on the topic of the speech, price level targeting. Just a quick caveat, this is the first time you floated this, right, this idea?
This is the first time I've talked about this in public, okay. Yeah.
So would this be attached to a more explicit higher inflation target? You know, would you for a time say, you know, we're looking for 3%, 3.5%?
You'd have to say something about how fast you want to get back to target. So to talk about the example I went through, you've got a 2.5% shortfall in 2018, and then the question is how long do you take to make up for that? You know, this would be something you'd have to talk through with the committee. It would be an elaborate process of decision making, you know, trading off. The concern you'd have is if you go too fast, you might unmoor inflation expectations, and so you have to be careful about that. The way I'd be thinking about it right now would be over a five-year time horizon, you try to make up for that. So that's 2.5% over a five-year horizon, so you're running about 50 basis points above target for 5 years.
And just as a quick follow-up, was this discussion included? You know, you're calling for a discussion or a debate. Was this included in that discussion at the Fed over nominal GDP targeting, or is, you know, is this sort of something that hasn't come up?
What I'm talking about is what I'm talking about today.
I have a question to follow up to something you said in your prepared remarks. You said that it's the FOMC's job to vary monetary stimulus over time, and I noticed in the minutes you guys did talk about a lot of ways. Talked about ways to normalize policy. What do you think in the next few years or when you hit targets, regardless of when it is, what tools should the Fed be looking at using?
Yeah, I think the minutes had a good reflect the fact that the committee continues to talk about that. I think the main message that I would like to send to the American public on that is we have the tools. You know, there is a question of which ones we use when, and we're sorting through that. But we have a wide range of tools that will allow us to dampen inflationary pressures when it becomes appropriate to do so. The conversation about what tools exactly we use at what time continues.
And as for the varying the stimulus, is there different tools that the Fed should be using in addition to the asset purchases and the forward communication, or?
You know, I think that the tools we have a tool that we're using to try to influence long-term interest rates, the stock of assets we own, and then the tools using short-term interest rates. And I think that's the tools I would be thinking about certainly is how do we influence those two objects as effectively as we can.
Back when you first started talking about the need for the Fed to do more to bring inflation back up and bring unemployment down more rapidly, you'd been saying that you were saying that you'd want the Fed board staff to study the options first before you talk more about specific policy options. I'm wondering if this was something that has already been studied by the Fed board and now you decided, you know, you were. This was worth discussing, or whether.
Well, this is not about. I don't see this as being discussing a form of stimulus. I think about this as basically being a conversation that we should have about what do we mean by targeting 2% inflation? Do we mean keeping to that price level path, or do we mean always aiming for 2% inflation? You know, I think it's just a conversation we should be having about what exactly we mean by price stability and having a 2% inflation target.
You talked about unemployment stabilizing at 5%. How much further do the states that are already below 5% have to go before they bottom out, do you think?
So that's, I had it stabilizing a little over 5%. For the national economy. I think that's there's a lot of heterogeneity in long-run unemployment rates across states, and so I wouldn't be able to answer that in the abstract, because if you look across states and over time, you'll see a lot of heterogeneity in that.
What about Minnesota?
You know, I think that Minnesota, you know, our forecast is that unemployment rate is going to continue to fall in Minnesota over the course of 2014. So we still have some room to go, I think.
I was inclined to ask on the unemployment topic. You know, you'd said there might be circumstances where the two roles or the two mandates, the Fed, come into conflict. What sort of circumstances might those be?
You know, in the abstract, you would say a persistent supply shock of some kind, adverse supply shock, would push upward on inflation and push downward on employment, and then you would face a challenging choice. But again, you know, it's not a shock in and of itself. It's something that you see affecting the path of inflation and employment over the next 1.5 to 2 years. If I sound unimaginative, it sort of is, because I am. I think in general, I think these objectives are going to be complementary to one another.
Excuse me, Bill Dudley was talking about when to halt reinvestments yesterday in New York. Do you have an idea on whether that should come before, during, or after the first rate rise?
I think it's just something we should continue to talk about. I thought the vice chair raised some very interesting ideas along those lines.
It sounds like this idea of normalization and these sort of longer term things, you don't want to get ahead of yourself on discussing these things now while we still have.
Oh, that's certainly true. I think the minutes are clear on that too, that this is all about prudent planning for normalization, for exit, as opposed to, you know, people shouldn't be thinking the next meeting this is all coming down the pike. It's more about talking, you know, you should be talking about things now. In fact, you know, if you go back to June of 2011, that's when the last exit statement came out, and we're not there yet, right? So it's certainly reasonable for people to talk. And, you know, I think I'm a big fan of transparency. I think it's good for the vice chair to share his ideas with the public like that.
As forward guidance has changed, and you know, we know your vote on that and stuff, what do you think the Fed could be doing to better communicate how it's approaching normalization and the?
You know, I really would like to see a tighter connection. You know, everyone agrees that the stance of policy depends on the economy. It's not a function of the calendar. I think we, you know, I don't speak for the committee, of course, but I when I read my colleagues' speeches, I see that theme come up over and over again. And but I think we should be, you know, we should be clear about that connection, about what are the what's the connect the exact connection between the outlook and the stance of policy. You know, I think my colleague President Rosengren, Eric Rosengren, has offered some very interesting ideas along these lines in recent speeches.
Are you talking about an explicit like reaction function?
Well, I think having something about what are we trying to see in the economy before we raise rates. So that there's this dream of having an explicit reaction function, which we say, and I've expressed this dream sometime in the past about. What are we going to do given every contingency could hit the economy? I'm talking about something more limited, which is what do we have to see before we begin the process of raising rates? I thought that the statement, the FOMC statement, the one thing that we've been clearer about, which has been a positive, is to say that even as we get back to near full maximum employment and near to target inflation, interest rates are going to remain unusually low. And I think that's an important message for us to be delivering to market participants and to the public more generally.
There's been a lot of chatter about the unusually low levels of volatility in financial markets. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. The VIX today apparently dropped to the lowest level in maybe December or something like that.
Lowest level since what? Sorry.
December.
Oh, since December. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that I don't have much to say about that. I don't usually comment on I think there is a sense of stability in the markets, and that's consistent with what we see in the VIX.
Let me try something a little more philosophical. Like, you touched on you know, pushing for lower thresholds, and just on the broad topic of forward guidance, the Fed has sort of tried, you know, different iterations through the years, and now it's come back to a more qualitative idea. I mean, if you can sort of discuss what that might signal going forward, are we returning to a more traditionalist take on central banking where, you know, you try to be a little more opaque with these things?
So, yeah, you always try to push me more philosophical. It gets me into trouble. But anyways, no, I think I think there's a desire to get back to normal. And you'll hear that from policymakers of all kinds and monetary policymakers as well. The problem is that we have two conflicting pieces of information out there. One is we have this qualitative guidance, and that leads market participants to be thinking, okay, they're going back to the way they used to do things. And you've sort of hinted at that in your lead into the question. At the same time, we have the guidance that I just described to Karen, that we're going to be keeping rates unusually low given we're going to be back to max employment and inflation's going to be running close to target, and yet interest rates are going to remain unusually low. So in that sense, we're not going back to the way things used to be. So I think this is going to be a very tough tightrope for us to walk, and I think we have to come. I think the I personally think that the way we started to talk about policy in late 2012 is a very beneficial way to think of and communicate about policy, not just within the zero lower bound, but more generally, to talk about it in terms of our goals. What are we trying to achieve? How fast do we want to get there? I think if we can make policy more about that on an ongoing basis, I think that would be beneficial. We're certainly, as I indicated in March, I think we took a step back from that in March.
And do you have any comments about Stanley Fisher being confirmed and the two votes still to be held and the change of the makeup of the committee?
As it befits a reporter, you're ahead of me on the news. I'm very glad to hear that Stanley Fisher has been confirmed. Was he confirmed as vice chair as well, or just as a member?
I haven't seen that. Just okay. A member.
Anyway, I think it's both the nominees put forward by the administration that have come out of the Senate Banking Committee, Fisher and Brainard. It's really positive for us to be able to have people that kind of talent. Expertise join us in our monetary policy discussions and join the Federal Reserve Board more generally. Jay Powell has just been a tremendous part of our conversations, I'm really glad that would be great to have him confirmed in a new term as well. So I've said this before. I think Federal Reserve System is a really important part of the American financial infrastructure and part of the U.S. economy. Really behooves Congress and the President to staff the board fully.
Can I just do a quick follow-up? There's been a lot of call for someone with a community banker background. How important do you think that is in contributing to the discussion?
You know, I there's certainly positives to that, but you know, I like the idea of just having people with a wide range of backgrounds around the table, and certainly I thought Governor Duke was fantastic. You don't want to just draft. I think it's fine to just have. I like the idea of having a wide range of voices around the table, and Governor Duke I found very helpful. So.
I'm wondering what your thoughts were on the recent slowdown in the housing market, how concerned you are that this is more than just a weather-related temporary blip, and whether it's been caused by higher mortgage rates.
Oh, I think, last year, if you go back to the early part of May of 2013, long-term interest rates were low, and the Fed took actions to that were designed to put upward pressure on rates. Rates rose, mortgage rates in particular, and housing has been slow. This is all very textbook. So, we have an action to produce the effect that one would have anticipated. I do not think the slowdown in the housing market is fully explainable by weather factors. I think that monetary policy has played a role in generating that slowdown.
Are you not worried that the slowdown will continue or that it will put downward pressure on the economy?
I'm concerned about the slow rate of progress that we have towards our goals of all kinds, and this is one channel through which monetary policy could operate. But the committee has decided in the and it began thinking in the early part of 2013, as I described, and then announced in December of 2013 a decision to reduce the flow of asset purchases. That's designed to that's a policy action designed to put upward pressure on interest rates in order to slow down what's going on. The textbook explanation would be that would end up at a slowing down what's going on in housing.
Is there any follow-up for MBS purchases or deciding not to sell them or how long to?
I think it's just the general principle is let's look at how long it's going to be taking us to get our goals and adopting the stance of policy. I think right now I still when I look my outlook is such that the stance of policy is such that we're not achieving our goals sufficiently rapidly. I look in the minutes. and I see that the staff, FOMC staff, are forecasting it to take a few years for us to get inflation back to 2%. A few years. So it seems to me that we could provide more stimulus. We should be providing, you know, that sounds like we should be providing more stimulus in order to achieve our goals more rapidly.
It's as the tapering process continues in measured steps, barring, you know, a significant change in the economic outlook. Do you have a preference of how the program should end in October, December, with a $5 billion purchase? Does it matter?
I think, you know, from an economic point of view, this is a very minimal decision. I'm bothered by the fact that I don't really know what we're going to do on that. That's what bothers me most. I feel like I should know. And I mean, actually, as a member of the American public, I should know, not as a member of the FOMC. It's another signal that we're not being as clear about our policy choices as we should be. And what happens then is I worry that market participants will start to hang on this virtually meaningless decision as having great content about future committee decisions, about how hawkish or dovish we're going to be. And that would be problematic.
Excuse me. This is about the
whether we taper end in October or December. I thought that was the question that I don't care. The tag along $5 billion. What do we do with it?
I'll take another shot if there's nothing else. This is again on normalization. But I don't know if President Fisher. I think it was last week in New Orleans. He was saying that look at the federal funds rate is kind of past its due as a useful tool in the future. I mean, you know, we have other tools. We have the repo sort of on the hopper here and others. What do you think about the Fed funds rate? Is it,
you know, I think there's a number of ways that we should be talking about. We can be talking about the stance of policy, and I think again, those conversations are things that will be continuing within the Fed. I don't feel in a position to make a firm comment at this point on it.